Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Obviously, Scott Hardy sitting in for Mary with his choice of music. It's David Bowie, ladies. It's okay. And a bunch of wonderful people from the Quincy Public Library are here, going from my left and then kind of like reverse clockwise. Caroline Woodward is here, Natasha Will, and some lady named Kathleen who claims to run the place as well. Ladies, good morning. Glad to have you along here.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yes, glad to have you here. Caroline, of course, everybody's kind of excited about the fact that the Dogwood Festival is this weekend, but you guys are going to have a big event coming up at the end of the month, too, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Summer reading kickoff is on Saturday, May 31st. It's going to be going from 9 a.m. to noon. We've got all sorts of activities for kids and families. We'll have Jen's Dance Academy there. Popcorn games, all sorts of fun stuff for kids and families.
All righty. In the notes that you have been nice enough to provide for me, one of the things that you want folks to know about is to help prevent the summer slide. Aren't summer slides fun? Don't kids enjoy that?
This is not that kind of slide.
Okay.
There's been research spanning over 100 years that show that students typically score lower on standardized tests at the end of summer vacation than they do on the same test at the beginning of summer. So libraries are part of that solution. There's been research done by Dominican University that shows that students who participate in the public library summer reading program score higher on reading achievement tests at the beginning of the next school year than those who do not participate. It's also, I remind kids, like, these are books that you get to read yourself. Like, it's not a book that your teacher assigns you. It's like your fun reading. Plus, we have all kinds of fun activities for kids to do in the summer.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it is. I know kids really enjoy this, but it is like a nice way, not trick them, but just kind of induce them to not have that slide. And really, I think, and you guys know this better than anybody, studies show that the more kids read, the better they do in school, the better they do in life, because it kind of triggers so much in your brain in terms of like schoolwork and imagination and things like that. So this is a really important thing. But you guys make it a lot of fun, too, don't you?
We do. We make it fun, and the kids can earn prizes for reading. Caroline, why don't you talk more about the prizes?
Oh, yeah. This year, our prizes are a little different than last year. So actually, the first prize that kids will be able to get is a book to read this summer. So with only 5 hours of reading, they'll be able to get a free book from the library to read through the summer. And then same as last year, we have these croc charms that the kids loved last year. So we have those returning, and I think they're really going to love it again. So
okay, as an old guy, tell me what a croc charm is. as best you can.
Right, yeah. They're just like, they have different little characters or they're little charms that go on like croc shoes, but we have these special little bracelets that these kids get to wear, and they get to pick out three special charms to wear for reading this summer.
Nice.
So if you don't have croc shoes, you can get a bracelet.
Yeah.
And then you can put your charms on the bracelet.
Yeah. Very
so
good.
So the holes in the crocs fit the charms.
Okay, yeah. Very, very good. But at the same time, you kind of want to keep the holes in the crocs, so, you know, to avoid a certain something, you know.
Right.
But yeah, and they enjoy it. I know that they do. Tell me about Beanstack and how you guys use that, how the kids use that.
So we have the kids read by minutes. That's how we track their reading. So when you sit down, and we encourage families to read together because kids are, you know, you copy your parents, or if you're showing your love for reading, your kids will have that love. So you sit down as a family, and if you say the kids read 20 minutes a day, then the parents can get the app. On their phone, we do have paper logs as well, but it's really simple. On the phone, you guys create an account, and then so if, say, Caroline was my child and we sat and read for 20 minutes, I would write that I would just log 20 minutes of reading, and then when you achieve, you unlock, like, fun badges, but then it will also tell you when you reach that prize goal, and then you come in and we'll look you up, and you'll be like, oh, you want a bracelet or a book, and then you pick up the items.
Yeah, and parents, don't forget that when you're reading to your kids, you can also log the minutes in your own reading challenge to win adult prizes.
Which is, we're doing Book It and Beer again this year. It has been very popular. Or soda, if you're not someone that likes beer, but you can earn a pizza and a beverage at our summer reading ending party. We're going to have the Book It and Beer there. So, and then we make that a family fun event as well.
Very nice. And getting the kids involved in that gives them some accountability, and it teaches responsibility too, doesn't it?
It does, yes. And they get excited. I know one mom told me my kid kept reading this summer because he wanted to get more charms, and then they were really excited about it, and they were excited about picking out the items. And, you know, there are some kids that might not be able to have Croc shoes that get an opportunity to have these fun charms. So
very, very nice. Okay, so just folks, to recap here, summer reading kickoff is coming up Saturday, May 31st, 9 to noon. Probably ought to get there a little bit early because I know the library parking lot fills up. There's parking across the street there on, I believe it's 6th Street. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Catty corner from the library.
Okay.
Parking lot.
The Masonic Lodge.
And
there,
the Masonic Lodge, yes.
Okay, very, very
and
good.
And the whole parking lot will be full of activities. We're going to have bounce houses. There's going to be a donut vendor as well.
Yep. The
so
mini donut vendor.
You won't be able
there.
To park in the parking lot.
Quintiac Company.
Quintiac, yes. So many vendors. So it's going to be full of activities.
Sugar and sharp things? That sounds like a lot of fun, Kevin. It really does.
We're going to attract it all.
Okay, let's say I'm a parent and my child has just gotten done with kindergarten. They're going to go into first grade, and I want to get them excited about reading. I read to them. What's it going to be like when, let's say, my son's name is Jonathan or Jonathan and Mary, and I've got them, and I'm holding their hand, and we're crossing the street looking both ways, and we're walking in. What can parents expect when their kids walk into the whole thing, the library parking lot, and everything here with the summer reading kickoff? What's kind of like a list of steps, what's going to happen?
Well, they can come in, and if they might get distracted by the activities that are there, but we will have an information table that gives you information about the summer reading program, that you'll get a map that shows you where all the stuff is, because we have some stuff that's in our meeting rooms. There'll be some stuff in a conference room and outside. You'll meet our friendly staff. Some of our board members will be there as well. And then we just kind of let you, you know, go do whatever activity in whatever order that you want. Again, we have Jen's Dance Academy performing, so they'll be performing at a certain time. Quincy Community Theater is going to be performing, so they'll perform at a certain time. And that will be on that schedule of events.
And if you're not signed up for Beanstack by the day of summer reading kickoff, we'll have people there to help you sign up for Beanstack then. However, Beanstack, the challenge, we'll be able to join before summer reading kickoff. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you want to spend some time doing more of the fun stuff instead of signing up for an app, you can do that beforehand. So
that's very, very good. Now Beanstalk's not going to, it doesn't matter if I have an Android or an iPhone, right?
Nope.
And, okay, good.
Available on both.
Okay, very, very good. A Windows phone? No, I'm teasing about that. No. So again, all right, so I've enrolled my children, and they're going to get involved in reading and not listen to me when I want them to go to bed because they're still involved reading, which is a good thing. I admit, that is a good thing. But you mentioned this earlier, the summer reading ending party on July 31st, and you mentioned Book It and Beer. Now,
yes. So we wrap it up. It has an end date. So we're going to do a big ending party. That's going to be like the last day to like redeem your prizes. We also have raffles. The Bully Lodge Masons always generously donate 4 bicycles that the kids can earn tickets for reading. So we will announce the winners that day. And that is also the day that the adults would get their beer and pizza. So we're going to have the Quincy Children's Museum will be there with activities. They'll have a craft, just music, and make it kind of like a party, like, yay. Well, I guess maybe yay for some summer's ending, but, you know, we succeeded. We read. We had fun.
We achieved our goals, yes.
It should be a party because that's what they're doing. They are achieving their goals, and, you know, they put the time in, and, you know, they should be recognized for that because, like we talked about earlier, it's a way to foster learning and to not, you know, like in the old days, you're reading, you're a nerd. No, it's not that at all. This is a very good thing that you guys are doing. So
yes.
I commend you on that, really. But do you find it hard to kind of hide the pizza and beer party away from the kids, or how do you manage that?
It's a family event. The adults drink the beer, and the kids drink soda or water.
Okay.
Everybody gets to enjoy pizza. And so it's a fun way to involve the parents and adults.
Yeah,
they really enjoy that.
Oh, sure. So the parents get the red Solo cups, and you hope that they don't mix them up.
Right. Well, and the kids get so excited that we're drawing for the not only the bikes, but we have prize baskets that they can win. The redeemable prizes are up to 20 hours, but they can continue reading after 20 hours to get more tickets to put in these baskets and to win these bikes. So there is an incentive to even keep reading after you get all your croc charms.
I was going to say, if nothing else, they're just going to show off their croc charms too, right? Well, sure. I mean, kids are like that. So all of this going on, July 31st will be the summer reading ending party. And the kickoff is on Saturday, May 31st. But if you want to get started a little early, you can do that as well. And just basically stop on by the library during normal business hours, right?
Yeah.
All righty. Now, who here is going to be in the Dogwood Parade tomorrow with the mobile library?
Myself, Natasha, and Kathleen will be in the parade. And we have some other staff members and some friends and family that are going to be in the parade, too.
Okay, so you, I figured you were going to get the training, Kathleen, but also, Natasha, you got the training, too?
And Caroline.
Oh, yeah, I have the training.
Oh, you just got the long straw, and you're not doing anything tomorrow.
Right.
Good on you. But, you're going to be there. You're going to be handing out stuff. You're not throwing books from...
No.
We'll be handing
out candy and... little coupons from the Friends of the Library for a free children's book.
From the Friends of the Library.
Yes.
The bookstore, the secondhand prose bookstore.
Get. Yeah. Which is open mainly whenever library hours are, and you can get deep discounts on books, right?
Right.
All righty. So be sure to check that out. So, folks, if you've got kids or grandkids, make this a part of your summer. The summer reading kickoff, Saturday, May 31st, 9 to noon. Lots of activities for the kids to really have a lot of fun with. They will read the books that they want to read, and they'll learn a lot from it and get excited about reading and go on to stimulate their love of learning. And it all wraps up July 31st, and you can have some pizza and beer just like you're watching the ball game. So, and the kids will have a lot of fun, too, on the 31st. Thank you so much, Kathleen Helsebeck, Caroline Woodward, Natasha Will. Ladies, thank you very much. Enjoyed
it. Thank you,
Scott. Thank you.
Very, very good. Thank you very, very much. We're at 9:44. When we come back, we talk Rotary, things Rotary with Larry Shepard and Jack Freiberg. We may stray into history. Who knows? We'll see about that. That's on the way here on The Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to The Mary Griffith Show, 9:46 here. And we are going to, for the remainder of the hour, we're going to talk things Rotary with a couple of Rotarians. Jack Freiberg and Larry Shepard. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Glad to have you along.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here as well. Now, of course, you guys are always in the community raising money, and it's some of Quincy's leading folks. And tell me real quick, just what are some of the things that you guys are involved in that you want more folks to know about?
Well, we're in a lot of different things. I mean, we're fundraising. Our biggest fundraising every year is obviously Oktoberfest that we have the last weekend of September. But we do a lot of other things within the community. For instance, we were one of the funders in the project across the street. We donated $50,000 for that project, which looks like it's progressing nicely, by the way.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're trying to get as much done as they can right now, even though somebody in a suit's there kind of bothering him. I don't know if you guys can see him there. He's kind of behind the
That's another fellow Rotarian, Tony Crane.
Yes. Oh, he's
oversight. He's the architect.
Yeah, I was going to say, he might know what he's talking about. Yeah.
He's been an architect for over 40 years. Yeah. If he hasn't learned by now, we're in deep trouble.
That's true. That's very, very true. But, yeah, it's been fascinating to watch this across the street because I didn't realize that they had a whole basement that had been covered over by the bricks there just in the back of the building. You would have to go up to the fencing now and see it, but beforehand you could see it all, and there was just like an old basement, like, you know, the old stone foundations that they have from like the 1850s and 60s.
Well, see, there are two things that they ran into problems with. Obviously, this foundation, the building was almost right up against that one. But the second thing is like you happens in the older portions of town, they ran into a cistern too. So those are the sort of things on that older portion of town. You're just going to run into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But Rotary's a big part of that. But you know, throughout the years, Rotary's had a huge influence on Quincy. I mean, you know, the shelter house at South Park, for instance. Rotary was the funder of that project, and the original Indian Mounds. That was another Rotary-related project. So Quincy's had Rotary's had a presence in Quincy for many, many years.
Yeah, and it's important that, because I think that goes under the radar too much, that, you guys have, you sit around and talk during a weekday at your lunch hour, but just the fact that you are doing all this fundraising and you are helping these community projects, that will continue on and will long outlive the original members.
Well, that's certainly the hope. Sure. Because Rotary itself has been around now, I think, close to 120 years.
And 102 years, actually, is how long the Quincy Club has been around.
Right.
But
right.
Rotary itself, 120. But, we've done so many things besides big projects. The gazebo down at the Clad Adams Riverfront, John Wood's Student Activity Center we did, the Arboretum that's there at John Wood we did, the gazebo at Bob Mays Park. We helped out with the Salvation Army Family Services shelter back when it was put together. We helped fund the Quincy University Centennial Park that you can walk through there. The pedestrian bridge at the at the Bill Klingner Trail is another big thing we did. We do a lot of stuff for kids. So on a regular basis, we honor a vocational student of the month from the VOTEC classes at the high school, and then we give a scholarship to two of them every year to go on to get advanced degree in their vocation. So we do a lot of that. We also have read to the kids in some of the schools for many, many years, and then we do a career day for the high school students. So we partner them up with professionals in areas that they want to maybe thinking about going to school for, and we put them together with them for the afternoon, let them see what life is like in whatever vocation they're looking at. So we do that. And then the other big thing we do is every year, Jack is Santa Claus for the special needs kids at the Quincy Public Schools, and we give gifts to every single student, special needs student. Last year, or this past year, it was about 45.
I think it was closer to 60.
Oh,
last year was
60,
a big year.
60 students. And we give gifts that the teachers have said each child would like. Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus also talk about one of the outstanding features of that child. Maybe he's done a good job or she's done a good job of keeping their hands to themselves. Maybe they're really good at math, but we talk to the Santa Claus talks to each child about that. So it's a lot of fun to see that happen.
That must be really rewarding for you.
It's a really uplifting day.
Yeah, that would be. But wow, Larry, just from what you described there, it sounds like that really that the Rotary has been involved in activities that are just other organizations are doing similar things, but you guys started it first.
Well, the whole idea behind Rotary is basically to have an impact, but it's not only just locally, it's also internationally. Since the late 1980s, Rotary's big international project has been to eliminate polio worldwide, which would be the second disease ever that was eliminated. The first one was smallpox, mm-hmm. but this has been quite an effort. And the areas that are primarily left that have that are in the kind of Wild West or the no federal government, no real structure to the area along the Afghanistan and Pakistan border. But even that, Rotary, I went to the International Convention in Los Angeles in 2008, and there's breakout sessions, there's plenary sessions that everybody's invited to that they'll have nationally or even internationally known speakers at that, but then there'll be breakout sessions. And one of the things I saw at that letter, in that breakout session, was a letter from an important Taliban leader that was basically giving the local tribal visits the okay to cooperate with Rotarians in order to get their children vaccinated.
Nice. That's very nice, because I was going to say that's a really rough part of the world there, where you almost have to carry a gun just out of necessity there. And the fact that the Rotarians are getting like a free pass there, well, that just says an awful lot about what you guys are doing.
I mean, it's in my mind, it's really pretty impressive and deeply influential work.
It is. It really, really is. Now, of course, the Oktoberfest coming up late September, right there by the Dick Brothers Brewery there. You close off the street, have a good time, you know, try German food, German beer, all of this, and then you raise the money. Do you know yet what you're going to be using that money for this year?
We've made a couple of commitments that we need to, first of all, complete. One is the John Wood... how do you describe that building on Cook's Lane?
The Votech building.
You know, it's not really a Votech, but it's it's an occupational training.
Training center.
Development center, something like that.
Yes, and anyway, because that's where the truck driving is and the welding and what have you. And we made a commitment to them that we have to complete yet. And then we also have to go ahead and complete the project across, because both of those were multi-year commitments.
For the Historical Society.
Right.
Okay, so you'll be you'll be finishing up those commitments, and then it's like you'll probably be sitting down and realize, well, what can we do after this?
Well, there's always seems to be more need than there is money.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the two projects we decided to commit to in the last couple of years. I'm not aware of any big project that's pending right offhand. You know, but that's not saying something's not going to come up tomorrow. You just don't know.
Yeah. I imagine somebody hearing this interview right now will probably think of something for you to tackle. That's just how that happens. But it's a good problem to have, though, isn't it? The knowing that community groups can rely on the Rotary Club
to help out. You know, the Rotary is pretty special to me. I've been in it 41 years now. But, you know, the other clubs in town, the UQuincy Service Club and the various Kiwanis clubs, are all great clubs, too. And, you know, we've partnered with them on different projects, too, which is also a good thing to do.
Yeah, and I imagine you have to consult with them as well, to kind of like, what are you guys doing?
Well, and there probably ought to be more communication on that than what there are. But we also want to make sure that we invite people out there to become part of Rotary, too, because we meet every Tuesday at noon at the Quincy Holiday Inn. The next month's programs are, we've got a, Kenzie Tiemann is going to be talking about the Master Naturalist program, and I've also gone through that program, and I'm a Master Naturalist, but that's sponsored by the University of Illinois Extension program.
That's next Tuesday.
And then the Alzheimer's Association, Todd Lambison is going to be speaking to us on the 13th. On the Joe 20th is the Joe Bonansing Award, which is Natalie Cornwell is going to be hosting that. And then on May 27th, Taylor Rakers is going to be telling us about Quincy Youth Flag Football.
Oh, okay.
So those are our next coming up
and
programs.
The Joe Bonansing Award is a big award in Quincy. We've partnered with United Way, and we give an award every year to someone who exemplifies what Joe Bonansing did. As we all know, Joe was a great, he loved Quincy, and he did everything he could for Quincy. You know, he worked for the Herald Whig and the newspaper, and he did lots of projects for the community. He was always pushing for positive things in the community. He was a Rotarian. He was an amazing Rotarian. Got to know him through that club when I joined back in 1992, and watch how he operated. So it's going to be fun to see who gets that award this year.
Yeah. And he had pretty high goals for all of his fundraising campaigns, because he was the first one to get $1 million with the United Way.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a pretty famous photo of him above that $1 million goal, him over that picture showing the $1 million with him grinning from ear to ear.
Well, sure. Yeah. Exactly. I wonder who one of the nominees, though, for the award is. I wonder where they might be at here. Where could they be? Oh, to my left. Mr. Freiberg is one of the nominees.
Yes, so. And I'm very humbled and honored both.
I know. But it is, Larry and I both agree, it's well-deserved for all that you do. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
But, you know, I can't say enough good about either Orville Jones or Jim Intesti, who were also the three finalists for that.
Right.
I've known both of those guys for quite a few years, and I think they're both terrific guys and very well deserving too.
Yeah, they have given and continue to give a lot to the community too. So, and basically, if nothing else, if you want to join Rotary, especially if you've if you're newer to town within the past 5 years you've moved here, it's a way to really get to know a lot of people in the community who will help out in a lot of ways. To whether it's your business or just a social life or getting things done in a community setting, it's a great way to go.
And we do a lot of little things, too, that really we don't really blow our horn about. For instance, we have a volunteer day every year at Horizons, and we just participated in the downtown cleanup that happened maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago here that was put together by the Chamber of Commerce. So there's a lot of little service projects we do in addition to the bigger, more visible one.
Right, right. So if you want to be an active member of the Quincy community, a good way to go is by joining the Rotary Club. What's the easiest way for them to folks to do that?
Just show up at a meeting. I mean, you can contact us online, too. You know, all you got to do is look up Rotary Club of Quincy, and that is a very simple way to do it. But probably the best way to do it is to show up at a meeting on a Tuesday, and we'll usually partner you up with somebody to kind of help you through the membership stuff and introduce you to Rotary a little bit more.
We always have a greeter looking for people, so you'll be greeted immediately when you come in, so you won't have to fumble your way around.
Very, very good. So, folks, Tuesdays, noon, Quincy Holiday Inn. If you want to become a member of the Rotary Club, just stop on by, and they will take care of you. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us,
you.
Scott.
I learned a lot, and I got to look for that R wherever we're at. It's 10 o'clock. News is next. Good morning.